This is Legacy Chatterbox, number 101, for April 2024, narrated by David Tredinnick and Wendy Hinson. For your convenience, each heading is marked with a new track. Contents. Track 1, Opening Announcement. Track 2, This Table of Contents. Track 3, From the Editor. Track 4, BOMAS. Track 5, President's Report. Track 6, CEO Update. Track 7, Social Club News. Track 8, Health and Safety. Track 9, Legatee Eric Flood awarded OAM. Track 10, In the Community. Track 11, The 60th Anniversary of the Sinking of HMAS Voyager. Track 12, Legatee Social Events. Track 13, Central Coast Waterways. Track 14, John Joseph Kennedy, 1939 to 1969. Track 15, What is the Biker's Hand? Track 16, Book Review, My Mother the Spy. Track 17, Kathy's Kitchen, Best Ever Scrambled Eggs. Track 18, From Our Readers. Track 19, Widow's Social Clubs. Track 20, Vale. Track 21, Marketing and Nuisance Calls. Track 22, Chatterbox on Audio CD. Track 23, Continuing Our Legacy of Care. Track 24, The Lighter Side of Life. Track 25, In the Garden with Ros Bailey. Track 26, Advertisements. Track 27, Contact Details. Track 28, Publishing and Copyright Statement. Track 29, Closing Announcement. From the Editor, Legatee David Ferry. Welcome to our autumn edition of Chatterbox. Firstly, I would like to proudly mention the awarding of the Order of Australia, OAM, to Legatee Eric Flood. Eric has devoted many years to legacy and to the community as a headmaster and schoolteacher. He richly deserves this award, and we thank him for his invaluable work with legacy and the community over the years. In this issue, we cover our Christmas functions, the Biker's Hand food donations, PR committee highlights, another interesting history of the Central Coast, discovering our beautiful waterways, and all our normal articles and features. A reminder that Anzac Day is coming up, Thursday the 25th of April 2024. Legacy will be holding a service at the village commencing at 8:45 a.m. The 10 RSL sub-branches on the Central Coast will also be holding their services, with details published in local newspapers prior to the day. From Legatee David Ferry, Editor. BOMAS. In December 2023, the members of BOMAS, Bikers of Military Ancestry and Service, presented Central Coast New South Wales Legacy with a cheque for $15,000, which went towards purchasing items for Christmas hampers, which were delivered to some of our most vulnerable beneficiaries here on the Central Coast. The presentation was attended by legatees, staff and village residents. President's Report from Legatee Patrick Gallagher, CSC. Welcome to this 101st issue of Chatterbox. The year 2023 ended in December with the welcome and very much appreciated donation of $15,000 from the BOMAS, Bikers for Legacy, following their annual Central Coast fundraising ride in November, while the year 2024 began with the wonderful news that Legatee Eric Flood was awarded the Order of Australia Medal, OAM, in this year's Australia Day Honours List. It goes without saying the award recognises Eric's service and dedication to Legacy over many, many years. Eric has been a member of Legacy since 1969 and of our club since 1998. He is also a former chairman of St George Legacy, served as the secretary of Lithgow Legacy and as a committee member of Sydney Legacy. During his time with us, Eric has been a member of the Pensions, Scholarship and Chatterbox committees. He also served as chairman of each of those groups at various times. On Australia Day, I called and wrote to congratulate Eric on behalf of the club. Speaking of our Legacy Club, many would have noticed that the title of Chatterbox has changed and now reads Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. That very simple but important alteration reflects the completion of a lengthy legal and administrative process that means the change from Brisbane Water, New South Wales Legacy, to Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy, is official. And we are now, and will in future, be able to represent our legacy clearly and simply to the community within which it is located, ending decades of confusion. In the last chatterbox, I wrote that the Board of Directors are carefully considering the way ahead for the continued provision of accommodation and services to our beneficiaries who are located in the Central Legacy Village. Broadly, it appears the feasible options will involve some combination of leased residential accommodation in the immediate area, as well as retention of some office and residential accommodation, most probably on the boundary of our current site. All club members and village residents will continue to be kept up to date and consulted throughout this process. As I have said many times, regardless of the outcome of those deliberations, everyone should note that the ability to provide both emergency and affordable housing for beneficiaries in need will remain an immutable core objective and capability of our club, now and well into the future. Finally, and again looking to the future, the 2024 Central Coast Legacy Scholarship Program attracted some 23 applications, and interviews were held with 8 candidates. The applicants ranged in age from 16 to 24 years and included students currently in years 11 and 12, school leavers, HSC in 2023, and those already at university or about to embark upon tertiary study. The scholarship committee members were unanimous in their view that 6 applicants were most deserving of Central Coast Legacy Scholarships. An awards lunch that will be attended by both the recipients and local dignitaries is to be held on the 16th of April 2024. Until next time, warmest regards to all. Legatee Patrick Gallagher, CSC, President. CEO Update from Peter Lawley, OAM. At Central Coast Legacy, we have a wonderful, dedicated group of legatees who provide so much in a total voluntary capacity. Our staff are here to support the legatees, as well as all of our beneficiaries, and I provide an overview of each staff member and their key roles and functions. Welfare Team. Michael Parsons is the manager of welfare, and his role is to allocate and support the functions of his team, establish and operate an annual plan of events, provide welfare policy overview, and undertake visits to our beneficiaries in the community. Jessica Stoker and Angela Heenan are our welfare officers, whose primary role is to conduct visits and contact with our beneficiaries, support the social clubs, and liaise with service providers. Chris O'Malley is our well-known and much-appreciated bus driver. Along with his driving duties, Chris arranges the locations that the social clubs visit, carefully planning to ensure that it is safe and suitable for all attending. Village and Housing Team. Heather Wilby manages the village, and shortly our rental property, ensuring that residents live in a safe and secure environment. Colin Bullard is maintenance and cleaning expert, and at times drives the bus when Chris is on leave. Business Support Team. Shane Goff is the company accountant, but also completes all sorts of business and other essential functions for Legacy. This includes managing the scholarship program. Marie Brown is our receptionist and the first person most speak to on the telephone or at the office. Heather Wilby, in her role, also provides executive support to me and the Board of Directors, as well as other legatees for administrative tasks. As most may be aware, all the staff complete all sorts of other roles, not the least of which is cooks, food service and bar duties, and decorating all our events. Our staff combined have 133 years of dedicated service at Central Coast Legacy, an outstanding record of achievement, which shows how we all care about supporting the families of veterans. I'm certainly enormously proud to lead such a committed group of professionals. Peter Lawley, OAM, Chief Executive Officer.
Social Club News. Your Welfare Team. The concept of active ageing can be applied for promoting ageing well, healthy ageing, positive ageing, productive ageing, and successful ageing through social participation, psychology, lifestyles, activities, finances, and other domestic and environmental factors all contribute to one's general well-being. Optimising opportunities for health, participation, and security to enhance quality of life as people age, including those who are frail, disabled, and in need of care. Active ageing allows people to realise their potential for physical, social and mental well-being throughout the life course and to participate in society. Well-being and physical and mental health are closely linked. The state of well-being is a multifaceted approach in the older population, which generally involves happiness, self-contentment, satisfying social relationships and autonomy. With advanced age, well-being might be adversely influenced by declining physical health and functioning due to age-related changes. Older adults may consequently encounter more challenges in pursuing aging well. Maintaining good physical health and functioning plays an important role in facilitating mobility and enables older adults to perform more integrated functional tasks, which include activities of daily living, fulfillment of social roles, and recreational activities. In addition, good physical functioning contributes to decreased falls incidence and prevent the negative impact of falling consequences, including social isolation and activity restriction in older adults. Cognitive health, in terms of keeping a good memory and preventing cognitive decline. Therefore, cognitive functioning is considered a primary contributor to aging well. Good cognitive health is linked to social connectedness, independence, and life activities, and it might be preserved and enhanced by maintaining an intellectually engaged and physically active lifestyle. Furthermore, having positive mental attitudes towards aging and one's capabilities may contribute to healthier mental health, higher level of satisfaction, and lower levels of anxiety and depression among older adults. Having a connection that contributes to aging well in terms of life satisfaction, feelings of happiness, having a sense of purpose and meaning in life, this can be influenced by different socioeconomic factors, including living standards and community participation. Our welfare officers visit our beneficiaries to discuss and assess their individual requirements and advocate as required through various support systems to maintain this sense of well-being. If you require assistance, please call our office to make an appointment to see one of our welfare officers. Welfare Team. Rosemary Social Club. Happy New Year to all. It's good to be able to meet again at the ARY in Tookley. Our meeting numbers are down now as some have found it more convenient to attend meetings closer to home. The ladies who come from Gosford have time for lunch before heading home. We have enjoyed the company of legatees Karen and Bill and expect to see more of them in the future. Our first trip in February was to Newcastle, then to Stockton, where we had a lovely lunch at a hotel as recommended by Chris, our bus driver, who takes such good care of us. It was fascinating to see all the movement in and around Newcastle Harbour. The March trip, again, to Newcastle, a totally different experience. We look forward to attending the Legacy Race Day in April, where we can mix with other social groups and generally have a good time and maybe a lucky flutter on the horses. Not to be missed will be the Mother's Day luncheon in May, where the Central Coast Legacy staff shine. Tookley Social Club. Welcome to 2024, and we hope that you all had a very wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year. Although we had no meeting in October due to a public holiday, we did have a mystery bus trip. Unfortunately, this bus trip remains a mystery as no one can remember where we went. However, we must have enjoyed it as there are no complaints. Our November outing was to the Bobbin Head Cafe, which has changed hands, and we experienced lack of service and extremely high prices, so we feel reluctant to return to this venue. On the 1st of December, Legacy had a wonderful Christmas lunch for us, which we all enjoyed, and we were entertained by the Two Waynes. Thanks to Legacy for looking after us so well. On the 4th of December, we had our local Christmas lunch, which was organised by Hazel at the Tookley Golf Club. The lunch was great, and a lot of work went into all the decorations and gifts, for which we thank Hazel, Marilyn, Mary, Sue, and others. a most successful start to the Christmas season for us all. At our first meeting for 2024, Michael advised us of some upcoming events. The Legacy Race Day will be on the 4th of April, Mother's Day lunch in May at Legacy Village, and Christmas lunch at Gosford RSL. Any ladies interested in going to Moss Vale, bookings will most likely be available for consideration after June. Brisbane Water's legacy name has now changed to Central Coast New South Wales Legacy, and each social club may be granted $1,000 to use as decided by members following approval by administration. Christmas in July is not yet confirmed. Chris would like suggestions on trips, and most important, if you cannot attend, you must inform Michael on 4323 4977 or leave a message. We have a bus trip to High Tide Cafe at Brooklyn on the 15th of February and a trip to the Elephant Shop at Currumbong on the 21st of March to look forward to. Hazel Duckett and Diane McCarran. Editor's note, for those who need to know, the mystery trip in October went to Golston. Wattle Social Club. Chatterbox, where would we be without it? It tells us all the comings and goings of the year and keeps everyone updated nicely. We are back together again for our bingo with our fellow widows and wonderful legatees. It is so good to catch up with everyone again in the new year and chat about how everyone's year is going so far. This month, our wonderful driver, who ferries us around the countryside so willingly, took us to Golston Gorge, where we had lunch and a tour of the area. It was a very hot day, 39 degrees, and we really appreciated the air conditioning in our legacy bus. We are all looking forward to our upcoming March bus trip, which is sure to be a good day out together, to visit our local nursery at Erina Heights, stopping for morning tea and perhaps enjoy a nice lunch, so don't miss it. If you are wondering what it would be like to be part of the Wattle Club, please call the Legacy Office on 4323 4977. Sunflower Social Club, formerly known as Woi Woi Etalong Widows. Here we are already a few months into 2024. We hope you've all had a lovely summer and escaped the heat as best you could. We started off our year with a social club planning meeting held at Legacy, which was very successful. Two of our members, Thelma and Diane, attended on our behalf to contribute our thoughts and suggestions. Legatee Anne Taylor and Welfare Officer Jessica Stoker read the outcomes to our group at our first meeting. We then went on to discuss our year ahead, which is looking good so far. We have welcomed a few new members, Eva, Arle and Mara, to the Sunflower Group this year. And before the year end, we also welcomed Joy and Marie. If anyone is interested in joining our group, we would be delighted to have you come along. We meet twice a month at Etalong Diggers on the first and third Friday of each month. We also thoroughly enjoy an outing on the Legacy Bus once a month. This year so far, we have visited Wallara Bay Sports Club and Barowra Waters. We are so very grateful to have these meetings to catch up with friends and would like to extend our thank you to the legatees who assist us each month, whether it be at our meetings or on the Legacy Bus. Our next function we are very much looking forward to is the Central Coast New South Wales Legacy Race Day at the Entertainment Grounds Gosford on the 4th of April. It is always such a fabulous day at the races. The Entrance Long Jetty Social Club. A big welcome to 2024. Time flies so fast. It doesn't seem like that long ago that we had to type the article for the last edition of Chatterbox. We are happy to be back and with our friends at our monthly meetings, catching up for a chat, playing bingo, and then staying for lunch at the club. So far, we've had three outings on the Legacy Bus, being Wangi Wangi Workers, Coastal Drive with lunch, and Etalong Bowling Club. We are looking forward to the race day in April, which Legacy have organised for us. It should be a lovely day. It always is. Until next time. Social Bus Report. What a great way to start 2024 with wonderful weather and a great variety of venues to choose from and explore in our Legacy Bus. So welcome back, everyone. We have started our weekly trips again this year, and so far we have been to a number of great locations, including but not limited to Wangi Wangi and surrounds, the Wallara Bay Club, the beautiful High Tide Cafe at Brooklyn, and Stockton Hotel Bistro, to name just a few. The Wangi Wangi Club has the most magnificent views over Lake Macquarie, which people can enjoy whilst also enjoying a lovely meal. They serve a plethora of different culinary delights, which will please even the fussiest eater. Our travellers also enjoyed the Wallara Bay Club, which offers lovely views and delicious meals as well. We visited Stockton for the very first time and found out some interesting history about its origin and early settlers. There were several coal ships entering and leaving Newcastle Harbour, which made for interesting viewing. An added bonus was a cruise ship, the Coral Princess, moored in Newcastle Harbour. The Golston Club always lives up to expectations, and we are never disappointed when we go there. It's a beautiful drive through the Hills District, with its bushy and tree-lined streets and lovely homes. We have many future trips planned, which include Barowra Waters, which has opened their cafe again. I had a chat with them last week, and they are very keen to have us back again soon. We're also going back to such places as the Eden Cafe at Currumbong and Burbank Nursery at Erina Heights. Our sincere thanks go to our wonderful legatees who accompany our beneficiaries on each of our bus trips, keeping them safe and attending to them when needed. Our legatees are the backbone of what Legacy stands for, and their continued love and concern for our beneficiaries is greatly appreciated by everyone. If you haven't been on one of our happy little bus trips, then we would really love to see you on board. We have a lot of fun, see a lot of sights, and I guarantee you will make new friends and enjoy yourself. Chris. Tookley Torchbearers. Well, here we are halfway through March already. We have been very quiet since November last year. We have a few unwell ladies in our group, and I hope they are feeling better soon. This year we have three events planned. They are Harry Moore Memorial Golf Day in September, Ladies Golf Day in October, and Legatee Carol Nunn and Partner Bill's Garden Show. If anyone can donate a small amount of craft for our Ladies Golf Day, and maybe some cakes, jams and slices, as the number of ladies who are usually the ones that do these jobs are dwindling. Any help would be appreciated. This is a short and sweet note. I hope you all enjoy Easter and have special plans as well for Anzac Day. Thank you. Sue Hartis. Are you having trouble attending widows' clubs because of mobility or transport reasons? Call the Legacy office on 4323 4977 for assistance. Widows Social Club Meetings. Sunflower Club meets at Etalong Beach Diggers Club on the first and third Friday of each month at 10 a.m, with a monthly social outing on the third Wednesday of each month. The Entrance Long Jetty Widows Club meet at Diggers at the Entrance on the third Monday of each month at 10 a.m, and a monthly social outing is the first Wednesday of each month. Tookley Widows Club meets at the Airy, Tookley, on the first Monday of each month at 10 a.m, with a social outing on the third Thursday of each month. Wattle Club meets at Erina Leagues Club on the first and third Thursday of the month at 10 a.m, with a social outing on the fourth Friday of each month. Rosemary Widows Club meet at the Airy, Tookley, on the second Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m, with the social outing on the fourth Wednesday of the month. For further information about our social clubs, please call 4323 4977. Health and safety. Scams in Australia. As you may recall, we raised this matter some 2 years ago and would like to take this opportunity to expand a little and reinforce its message. For most, it's not a matter of if, but when it happens. Please remain vigilant. It is important to realise that registering with Do Not Call, phone 1300 792 958, will not stop scammers. It will also not stop calls from exempt organisations such as registered charities, educational institutions, government bodies, registered political parties, social researchers and opinion pollsters. Scammers are amoral, relentless, and can be quite convincing. They often offer products or services that seems too good to be true or pose as legitimate organisations to steal your personal information, including passwords. They don't care about you. the National Anti-Scam Centre launched on the 1st of July 2023 and builds on the work of the ACCC's Scam Watch service. Scams are getting harder to spot. Australians reported a record $3.1 billion lost to scams last year. That's 80% more than the year before and up from $222 million in 2020. So, what's happening? Though impossible to list all, some examples of current scams in Australia are impersonation, phishing, and spoofing. Impersonation scams refer to scammers pretending they are someone else, often from a respected institution like a bank or government organisation, or even a member of your family. In this scam, fraudsters may call or send a message pretending to be from an organisation or posing as a close relative, and then request your passwords, card details and codes to gain access to your accounts. The calls or texts may come from a mix of phone numbers. They can make the caller ID name to appear to come from a legitimate number. They might claim to be from an institution you know well, contacting you about an issue with your account. Or they may pretend to be a close relative of yours who has lost their phone and needs help. They may ask you to transfer money or to share sensitive information such as your one-time passwords, PIN, internet banking passwords or personal details. Despite sharing some similarities, spoofing and phishing are two distinct cyber threats with several fundamental differences. The goal of spoofing is to impersonate someone's identity, while the goal of phishing attacks is to steal information. Extortion scam. An extortion scam happens when a scammer threatens to release valuable private information or get you into trouble unless you provide a form of payment or service to them. These scams are designed to frighten you into handing over your money and can even include threats to your life. There are many types of extortion scams. A perpetrator could obtain something private of yours through deceptive means, such as your password or private personal images, image-based abuse. They could threaten to release these to the public unless you pay money or do something for them. Scammers may also impersonate government officials, claiming that you have overdue fees to pay and scare you with the threat of arrest. Investment scam. Investment scams prey on your trust in your online connections and desire to grow your wealth. These scams are allegedly promoted by celebrities or by your social media friends and ask you to invest into a wealth growth opportunity, such as cryptocurrency or gold. Most of these promotions are too good to be true and are fabricated with false endorsements to persuade you into handing over money that you won't see again. Romance scam. A romance scam is an online dating scam where the scammer will spend time cultivating a relationship with you online, often over many months. They might then ask you for emergency money to help a sick relative or to assist with foreign aid activities. They may even ask you to pay for them to come to Australia to meet you in person. A common sign of a romance scam is if you are asked to send money overseas to an account in another name than the person you are in contact with. If you suspect a romance scam, you should stop communicating with the person immediately. Remote access scam. A remote access scam often occurs on the phone, where scammers call you, claiming to be from a telecommunications company. They will then seek remote access to your computer to conduct off-site maintenance. While they have remote access, they will ask you to log into your internet banking platform and steal your credentials and funds from your account. Never provide remote access to an unknown caller, even if they say they are from an organisation you are familiar with. Always hang up and call the organisation back on a number that you have found independently if you have even the slightest concern about whether a call is legitimate. Products and services scam. Scammers pose as buyers or sellers to steal your money. They set up fake websites or profiles on legitimate retailer sites, offering products or services at prices that are too good to be true. They post fake ads and fake reviews. They may use stolen logos, a .com.au domain name, and stolen Australian ABN. These scams are hard to spot. They may also pose as businesses that you know and trust to send you fake bills. They can even change details on legitimate invoices. Unexpected money scams. Scammers try to convince you that you are owed or entitled to money or winnings that you did not receive. The scammer asks you to pay a fee or to give your banking or identity details before you collect the money or winnings. Unfortunately, there is no free money. Emergency response themed scam. Emergency response themed scams come up when scammers try to piggyback off community emergencies, such as bushfire relief or COVID-19, to seek donations for non-legitimate purposes. Instead of your donation going to those in need, it goes into the scammer's back pocket. Always do your homework before donating and providing any account information online. In Australia, you can find registered charities who are authorised to accept donations on the ACNC Charity Register. Important: be wary of spam emails, texts, chain letters and persons purporting to be representatives of government departments, financial institutions or other businesses. Do not give your name, bank account details, PIN numbers, copies of your passport, birth certificate or any other personal details or documents to anyone other than for legitimate purposes. If someone contacts you asking for personal information, check they are legitimate. Be suspicious of any correspondence from overseas asking you to forward large sums of money or advising that you have won a prize. If someone blocks access to your computer or personal files and then asks for a payment to remove that block, report the incident. Do not be entertained by scammers. They can be very intense and persuasive. Do not rely on caller ID. This can be spoofed. You could try blocking the phone number that appears on your phone, but scammers will simply move to another number. In short, do not answer it. Reporting scams. You are encouraged to report scams to the ACCC, www.accc.gov.au, phone 1300 302 502. Banking, your bank or financial institution. Cybercrime, Australian Cyber Security Hotline, phone 1300 292 371, www.cyber.gov.au. Most people use the internet daily, which can expose them to cyber attacks. Cybercrime assists you to recognise the threats and protect yourself from cyber criminals. Scamwatch. Reporting scam experience, www.scamwatch.gov.au. Every report counts. Financial and investment scams. Australian Securities and Investments Commission, ASIC, www.asic.gov.au. Phone 1300 300 630. Regulates company and financial services and enforces laws to protect Australian consumers, investors and creditors. Fraud and theft. Police assistance line on 131 444. To report criminal activity, please visit Crime Stoppers or call 1-800-333-000. Image-based abuse, sextortion, cyberbullying and illegal content. Office of the eSafety Commissioner, www.esafety.gov.au, a website that provides advice about how to stay safe online. Lifeline 131114. Spam. Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA, www.acma.gov.au. Phone 1300 850 115. Commonwealth statutory authority responsible for the regulation of broadcasting, radio communications, telecommunications, and online content. Tax-related scams, Australian Taxation Office, www.ato.gov.au, phone 132861. ID Care, www.idcare.org, phone 1800 595 160. National Identity and Cyber Support Service, if scammed, to assist, limit the damage and support you through the process. W.O. Parsons. Legatee Eric Flood awarded OAM. Long-serving and much-admired legatee Mr. Eric George Flood was awarded an Order of Australia Medal in the 2024 Australia Day Honours List for his service to veterans and their families. This award recognises Eric's selfless dedication and commitment to legacy and its beneficiaries for the past 55-plus years. Eric has served legacy and Central Coast legacy in particular with great dignity and compassion. He was an inaugural member of the Scholarship Committee and is still a member, and was its chairman for 5 years. He also served as chairman of Chatterbox for 6 years, during which time he presided over its revamp. Eric is highly regarded by his colleagues, not only for his intellect, wisdom, and common sense view of the world, but for his enduring kindness and courtesy towards all those he encounters, beneficiaries, staff, and fellow legatees alike. He embodies the true meaning of service, as expressed in the Legacy Charter, and his fellow legatees are delighted that his service has been duly recognised through the awarding of the OAM. Interview with Eric Flood, OAM, by Legatee Jenny Bourchier. Question: what did receiving the OAM mean to you? Well, to be frank, I was astounded that I would be nominated for such an award. Being awarded an OAM has made me feel very humble. It has also made me ask the question, what have I done over the years that I would be recognised over others who have been similarly committed themselves to legacy? I am deeply honoured, however, and grateful for the recognition that the award conveys. I feel like I have come such a long way since my early days growing up in Yenda. Question: what sort of responses have you had from families, friends, colleagues, etc.? It has been amazing. People have been surprisingly happy for me. I can't get over it, really. I've received many congratulatory phone calls and cards. In general, everyone has been very supportive and pleased for me. I'm amazed at the respect the awards seem to generate, and where I anticipated a feeling of embarrassment, the reverse happened. I feel welcomed in any group. The other day I went to play bridge at the country club at Tarragal Glen, and the manager came up and put her arms around me to congratulate me. She is not accustomed to doing this. It was quite out of character. Question: you have served legacy for over 55 years. What has been your primary motivation in continuing to serve legacy all that time? What have you found most rewarding as a legatee? Legacy is a part of who I am. Joining Legacy was a defining moment for me in my life, as it gave me an opening to do something that gave me a sense of purpose. I grew up in Yenda and recall the former World War I soldiers who settled in the area because they wanted to build better lives for themselves and their families. Regrettably, the deprivations of the Depression broke many of them, creating great hardship for the mothers. It was the driving force that led me to joining Legacy and honouring those early soldier settlers and the hardships experienced by the mothers. I often think of it in terms of helping the widow who was left behind. I feel deeply privileged to have been able to help those who have lost a loved one, along with all those other men and women who have committed themselves to serving our beneficiaries. There is a bond that runs through the legacy community, and many of the people I have met in legacy made me a better person by helping me recognise who I really am and what I have to contribute. Question: how has legacy changed over the course of your service as a legatee? Is it a change for the better, or not so much? When I first joined the work of legacy, it was very straightforward. Legatees were all veterans themselves, and they visited and supported the widows and children of veterans who had died. Over the years, our work became more complex as the makeup and needs of our beneficiaries has changed. Legatees have had to take a step back and draw on the expertise of others to help with this developing complexity. In doing so, legacy has been enriched by bringing in others, for example, non-veterans, welfare staff. Women now play an important role in legacy, and it is a healthier organisation because of it. Question: do you reflect often on your own war service, and if so, what conclusions have you drawn about armed conflict generally? Yes, I reflect quite often on my own war service and situations I found myself in when in action and when not in action. Joining up required me to transition very quickly from living at home with my family to living with others in an environment so far removed from my life up until then. The 3 years I spent mainly in the infantry was the making of me and made me grow up very quickly. When I read about conflicts in other parts of the world, I often ask myself, do we ever learn? I can recall my father asking the very same question about his service in World War I. Conflict is always with us, and I abhor it. Question: do you have any words, pearls of wisdom you wish to pass on to new legatees or to those contemplating joining legacy? Simply put, my advice is to understand what legacy is about first, and then decide how you want to make a difference to those which legacy serves. To realise that you are dealing with people who have experienced loss. To find a purpose in what you do and how you may make a difference. To understand that being involved in legacy is to be part of something noble, and that while legacy has changed, it has done so without losing its meaning and purpose, that being to serve. Medal of the Order of Australia, OAM, in the General Division, Mr. Eric George Flood, for service to veterans and their families. Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. Legatee since 1998. Member, Pensions Committee since 1990s. Former Chairman, Pensions Committee. Member, Scholarship Committee, current. Former Chairman, Scholarship Committee, 5 years. Former Chairman, Chatterbox Quarterly News Magazine, 6 years. Legacy Other. Former Chairman, St. George Legacy. Former Secretary, Lithgow Legacy. Former Member and Committee Member, Sydney Legacy. Member Legacy since 1969. Awards and recognition include Seniors Community Award, Central Coast Community, 2021. Editor's Note: in the next edition of Chatterbox 102, August 2024, keep an eye out for Eric Flood OAM Life Story. In the community, Christmas hampers. With the very generous donations from our supporters, we were able to provide hampers to 60 Central Coast New South Wales Legacy members just in time for Christmas 2023. Below are just a few of our happy beneficiaries. Several photos are attached. 22 years of service. Peter Groom has decided to consider his long-term options away from legacy. Peter has been a long-term employee, covering many roles over the years, and his 22 years of service was recognised through presentation of this plaque. We will all miss Peter, a committed staff member and friend to all. He will remain in touch, and we will use his services from time to time. May Bensley. I grew up all over the place because my father was in the police force. He was a mounted policeman, which means every time he moved up the ladder, he moved on to another section, so I went to about 4 different schools. I didn't quite know what I was going to do after I had finished up training as a nurse. I did realise at a young age that I was quite interested in painting. I met my husband when we were 17 and wanted to marry right away. However, the war got in between. He spent time in New Guinea and Kokoda. He came back sick with malaria, and after some 12 months he was finally okay, and we married in 1944, the day before the war ended. We had 5 daughters together, our first being born in 1946. We realised the girls needed an education away from home, so we started looking for property around Sydney. While we were looking, I met a friend who was an art teacher, and because I was quite interested in painting, she talked me into going to Chatswood Evening College. We ended up buying a property on the Hawkesbury, where we stayed until my husband passed away at the early age of 56. He was always a great supporter in my love for painting. After my husband died, I moved to Queensland and I met a group of people interested in painting. I found that I wasn't too interested in oil painting and I took up an interest in watercolours. We went out in groups of 10 or 20 each week, painting spots around southern parts of Queensland. My love for it went on from there. I was in exhibitions and competitions. I have won many prizes and sold many paintings along the way. I am mostly inspired by looking around at landmarks and attractions. I have always loved painting outdoors. Unfortunately, at the age of 103, my sight is too impaired to allow me to continue. It has been about 2 years since I painted my last picture. However, I still get pleasure having a little dabble with colours and shapes, and making small gift cards from sections of unused painting exercises. Centenarian Mrs. Joy Harvey. Centenarian Mrs. Joy Harvey with Etalong Public School Children's Choir at the Sunflower Social Groups meeting. School children come to entertain our group a couple of times a year. Mrs. Harvey is a war widow and an ex-serving member of RAAF during World War II. Thank you, Joy, for your service. The 60th anniversary of the sinking of HMAS Voyager. Ceremony coordinated by the Naval Association Central Coast, preserving Australia's naval history. On Saturday, the 10th of February, I was privileged to attend this service representing legacy with one of our male beneficiaries, Mr. Wes Weir, and another veteran, retired Chief Petty Officer Stan Hears, who was the flight deck crew chief when the HMAS Melbourne collided and sunk the HMS Voyager with 82 men lost. It was an amazing naval commemoration service held at Jonathan Rogers Memorial at Rogers Park, Woi Woi, named in his honour. This commemoration service, commencing at 11 a.m, was supported by Royal Australian Navy Chaplain Elizabeth Bolton, Naval Flag Bearer Party, Navy Band Brass Quintet, and naval officers joining the Naval Association of Australia members. Invited guests included politicians, RSL sub-branches and club representatives, as well as the National Servicemen's Association and Central Coast Legacy joining family members of Jonathan Rogers, who had lived in that area. This memorial was being rededicated during the service due to its recent relocation by Central Coast Council, and this annual service is held to remember those who lost their lives when the HMAS Voyager sunk on that fateful day 60 years ago. The collision of HMAS Melbourne and HMAS Voyager remains the Royal Australian Navy's RAN worst peacetime disaster. Occurring off the New South Wales coast in 1964, the aircraft carrier Melbourne and destroyer Voyager were engaged in night flying exercises. Voyager inexplicably turned in front of Melbourne's bow and the destroyer was cut in half and sank. Out of a crew of 314, 82 men perished in that incident. For the Navy's flagship and its escort to collide in home waters in calm conditions with such heavy loss of life was a disaster, leaving the RAN and our nation shocked. One of the stories to emerge from the sinking was that of Chief Petty Officer Jonathan Rogers. Realising he was probably too large to fit through the escape hatch, was heard saying, "I can't get out. Get all the young fellows out of the hatch." As the Voyager began to sink, the coxswain, CPO Rogers, continued organising the escape of the younger sailors from the ship. He was heard telling them not to panic, and he led them in a prayer and a hymn. For his actions on that fateful night, he was awarded a posthumous George Cross, the highest award for valour in peacetime. The last thing Jonathan Rogers was heard saying was, "Well, the waters beat us." He was not seen again. I would like to thank Mr. Colin Wilde, President of the Naval Association Central Coast, for the invitation and the hospitality shown to me, Wes Weir, and other veterans and families on the day. Legatee Stephen Bailey. Legatee's Social Events. This year, the legatees, wives, husbands and partners enjoyed a day at the races for their annual Christmas function, organised by the Public Relations Committee and staff. The day included a three-course lunch with various activities organised by legatees Bailey and Parker. Several of the attendees enjoyed a successful wager on the races, with the winning colour being yellow. Special thanks to legatee Bailey for organising the event with the entertainment grounds. Fighter World, Williamtown Air Force Base. As part of a new initiative, the PR committee organised a day out for the legatees who give up their time to say thank you. The day included a tour of the facility organised by legatee Bailey, who arranged for Air Commodore Jack Vanderlinden, retired, who was a former RAAF Mirage pilot, to guide us through the facility. All current and former fighter jets were on display, and to top it off, four current F-35 fighters took off while we were having lunch. A special thanks to Chris, our driver, for giving up his time. Chitaway Bay Tavern Social Golf Club. Prior to Christmas last year, legatee Karen Dryden and I travelled up to Chitaway Bay Tavern to be presented a donation cheque to Legacy for $3,000, presented by the president Craig Milton and the club captain Tony Carroll. Their social golf club is very well supported by the Laundy Hotel Group and the Chitaway Bay Tavern management and staff. While we were at the tavern, both Karen and I appreciated the excellent hospitality provided by Craig and Tony and their members. As mentioned previously in an article, the Chitaway Bay Social Golf Club team have donated well over $11,000 to Legacy in the last 3 years, which is a significant effort and much appreciated. Legatee David Ferry. Central Coast Waterways. The Central Coast has one of the most unique series of lagoons, lakes and waterways in Australia. Luckily, I grew up with them and had the great pleasure of using them for fishing, sailing and boating, which I am still doing. When my family moved up to the Central Coast in the early 50s, my first experience of these magnificent waterways was living at Long Jetty on Tuggera Lakes. I spent many memorable summers walking along the lake's edge with my father, mother and brother, chasing prawns in the shallows, dodging the jelly blubbers and just having lots of fun. 9 images follow. Number 1, Womberall Lagoon. 2, the entrance boatshed. 3, Payne's Boatshed Jetty. 4, Lake Munmorra. 5, Woi Woi Channel, Brisbane Water. 6, Budgewoi Channel. 7, Putt-Putt, Davistown. 8, 1960 Ampol Fishing Competition, the entrance channel. 9, Canoeing at Payne's, circa 1960. Back in these early days, Tuggera Lakes was environmentally pristine with white sandy shorelines, very little ribbon weed and lots of prawns and fish to catch. As we got older, my brother and I hired the blue plywood canoes from Payne's Jetty at Long Jetty. We spent many hours in these canoes, paddling up and down the jetty sides and sometimes venturing further along the lake foreshore, which you were really not allowed to do. Mum and Dad had made sure we were both strong swimmers, so they felt confident with us both in the water. Every now and then Dad would take us out in one of the rowing boats fishing, which you could hire at the entrance channel. With local fishermen tips, we caught lots of fish in the entrance channel, flathead, brim and sometimes blackfish. The family decided to move to Womberall to live, not far from Womberall Lagoon. For my brother and I, this opened a whole new waterway adventure. Again, back in these days, Womberall Lagoon was very pristine, and we discovered Mr. Fox's red plywood canoes, which we constantly hired when we had some pocket money. We fished in Womberall Lagoon near the sandbar entrance, which every now and then was opened by the Gosford Council to replenish the lagoon with fresh seawater. Sea garfish were the main catch in the lagoon, and when properly cooked, were delicious. During my primary school years, attending Erina Heights Primary School, every school holidays we were back down at Womberall Lagoon, canoeing and fishing. During the holidays, Mr. Fox asked me if I could help him manage his canoes. He would pay me for my time. My job was to round up a canoe if it went over time. Every canoe had its own unique number, which we recorded, and if they went over time, I would paddle out and ask them to return to the shore. My brother was keen on sailing, so Dad decided to build him a little Manly Junior sailing boat. And we joined Gosford's Sailing Club to race against other children with Manly Juniors. We had now moved on to the magnificent Brisbane waters. As Robert and I grew older, we continued sailing on Brisbane water with the Gosford Sailing Club, graduating to a two-crew fireball skiff, which we regularly raced. I was keen on fishing and quite often hired putt-putt boats from the Booker Bay Marina. I had many boating adventures in the putt-putts, exploring the bays and estuaries of the Brisbane waters. My favourite spot was the channel near the Rip Bridge, where I caught many fish, including brim, baby snapper and flathead. Occasionally the family would go down to Patonga and picnic beside the picturesque Patonga Creek, where we fished for whiting and flathead. Patonga is a beautiful little seaside village with a small fishing fleet, situated at the far southern end of the central coast. When I got my driving licence at the age of 18, I borrowed Mum's Austin A30 and started to explore the central coast's northern waterways, Budgerowai Lake and Munmorah Lake. My two favourite spots were Canton Beach at Tookley, where we always got a good haul of sweet lake prawns, and the Budgerowai Channel, separating Budgerowai Lake and Lake Munmorah. The Budgerowai Channel was a prolific fishing spot, and you never knew what you would catch. On the weekends, I would often drive up to the northern end of Lake Munmorah and watch the speedboats towing water skiers, which was a popular local pastime. I hope this article brings home to you how lucky we are to live on the Central Coast, with its unique and beautiful array of lagoons, lakes and waterways, which we must try and keep unpolluted and pristine. Legatee David Ferry. John Joseph Kennedy, 1939 to 1969. John was born in Annandale, New South Wales, on the 14th of December 1939, the son of John Dennis and Mary Joyce, née Balgowan Kennedy. He attended the Christian Brothers School, St Thomas's, at Lewisham. At the end of his second year, he left. He held a number of different jobs over the following years, including as a builder's labourer on Garden Island. John met his future wife, Patricia, when he was 13. The two became a couple 2 years later and married on the 26th of December 1958. John was 19 and Patricia 18. Between 1959 and 1964, they welcomed five children into the world. The following year, John, who was working as a station porter for the New South Wales Government Railways, decided to join the Australian Army, which offered stable employment and a way to look after his family. At this time, Patricia was pregnant with their sixth child. On the 10th of March 1965, 2 weeks after the birth of his sixth child, John Kennedy joined the Australian Regular Army, signing on for a period of 6 years. He spent the next 6 months in training, progressing from being a recruit at Kapooka to a qualified rifleman after completing infantry training at Singleton. At the end of September, he was posted to the 5th Battalion, the Royal Australian Regiment, where he joined D Company. In early 1966, he was sent on the first of many courses to ready him for promotion. His first promotion to Lance Corporal occurred on the 1st of March. Life in 5RAR was busy as the platoon had been told to prepare to deploy to Vietnam. The next 3 months were taken up by a hectic training schedule. 5RAR arrived in Vietnam in May and had begun their first operation by the end of the month. The battalion returned to Australia in April 1967, and John's promotion to corporal was made substantive. John continued with training courses for promotion, but stopped short of completing the final subject for sergeant. He did not want to be removed from the men, who he looked after with great care and pride. His diggers good-naturedly referred to him as Pops or Poppy. His men revered him, and even though he was only a few years older than them, his status as a father lent him a paternal and caring demeanour. In late 1968, John and Patricia welcomed a seventh child into the family. 5 months later, Kennedy deployed to Vietnam with 5 RAR for a second time. On the 6th of June 1969, D Company was the first Australian Task Force's Ready Reaction Company. Due to a large number of officers and men being on promotion courses or on leave, the company was under strength, and John was acting as 12 Platoon's commanding officer. After receiving news of Australian armoured vehicles being attacked at Bin Bar, north of Nui Dat, D Company and supporting armoured personnel carriers and Centurion tanks were sent to help the local South Vietnamese force clear the village. Although they initially thought they were facing around 2 platoons of North Vietnamese Army soldiers, the Australians soon realised they were up against a far more significant force. Kennedy led his men to clear as many houses as they could during brutal and often hand-to-hand fighting. But after reaching the centre of the village, they were forced to withdraw to the south. The company took part in a second assault of the village later in the afternoon. But as light began to fail, parts of Bin Bar were still occupied by enemy soldiers. Still supported by armoured vehicles, D Company moved out of the village and occupied defensive positions nearby overnight. The next morning, Kennedy and his men again began to advance into Bin Bar. After finding the enemy had withdrawn during the night, the rest of the clearing was handed over to local South Vietnamese forces. The exhausted D Company returned to Nui Dat for rest. On the 15th of June, D Company was sent to Dat Do to relieve a company from 9 RAR. After arriving and taking over, D Company's commanding officer ordered his platoons to form a defensive circle in a grove of rubber trees at the southern end of the village. 12 Platoon, commanded by Sergeant Rod Lees, was given the task of occupying the 12-4 position. Lees was in the process of sighting the platoon's machine gun when he stepped on an M16 anti-personnel mine. When the dust from the ensuing explosion cleared, it was clear that 12 Platoon's headquarters group had been devastated. Corporal John Kennedy and the platoon medic, Private Peter Jackson, were dead. Sergeant Lees suffered severe wounds to both legs. Although he was initially given no chance of survival, he did pull through. Another 22 members of the platoon were wounded, one of whom died several days later in hospital. Nearly every man in 12 Platoon had been wounded. Engineers called to the scene located another 2 mines in the grove. One had been faulty and had failed to detonate, while the other had remained undisturbed. Kennedy's remains were repatriated to Australia and was laid to rest with full military honours in Liverpool Cemetery. He was 29 years old. 5th Battalion, the Royal Australian Regiment, is currently based at Robertson Barracks, Palmerston, Northern Territory. The 5 RAR Tiger Trophy is competed for by the sections within the battalion. The arduous and challenging competition is conducted over several days. It was suggested that the trophy be named after an NCO of 5 RAR from the Vietnam era. John Joseph Kennedy was chosen. Since 2020, the trophy has been known as the Kennedy Cup. Early memories of legacy. Following the news of Dad's death in June 1969, there came a steady stream of visitors to our Green Valley home. At first, there were friends, relatives, neighbours. Our parish priest came, as did our teaching nuns, and while others were simply present, occupying us kids or cleaning the house, anything to feel useful at a time when no one really knows what to do or say. While much of that time is a blur, I remember those who came with gratitude and fondness. They did what they could, but as with any tragedy, there comes a time when everyone goes back to their homes, back to their own lives. And so they left, all bar one. Legacy came and stayed for the next 50 years. Our first legatee was Mr. John Hunt. He was a wonderful, kind man, and while he provided support to Mum, us kids were blessed to have his equally wonderful and dedicated wife, Marie, as our regular legacy bus driver, carting us to various activities and events. Legacy facilitated holidays and day activities for us, giving Mum some rest and respite and providing us the opportunity to meet other children who had lost their fathers. With these kids, we didn't have to explain where our dad was or what job he did. we all understood the unspoken. Each January, our family would take the bus and train trip from Liverpool into Castlereagh Street to collect school stationery from the Sydney Legacy Office. While it may not sound much today, at the time it was a relief to Mum that she didn't have to provide 7 lots of exercise books, pencils, erasers and rulers. We would each proudly carry the small bags that the goodies were in and place them front and centre on the desk on our return to school. We felt special and cared for, a little secret from our friends at school that we had legacy in our corner. When it came time to leave school, our legatees provided references and referrals to prospective employers, helping us to secure good jobs. My siblings and I, at various times throughout our teenage years, volunteered with Legacy to sell badges each September and to cut and tie rosemary in preparation for Anzac Day. As adults, my sister Vicky and I became legatees. It is our honour and privilege to walk in the steps of all those legatees that supported our family over the years, with a special thanks to Mr. and Mrs. Hunt and those who followed, supporting Mum right up to her death in October 2019. Legatee Karen Patterson, November 2023. Karen is a legatee with Central Coast Legacy New South Wales. Thank you, Karen, for allowing me to share your story with our Chatterbox readers. Pam Morton. John Joseph Kennedy's name is listed on the Roll of Honour at the Australian War Memorial, Grafton Clarence Valley Vietnam Veterans Memorial, Kalinga Vietnam Veterans Place, Port Pirie Vietnam Veterans Honour Wall, and Seymour Vietnam Veterans Commemorative Walk Roll of Honour. What is the Biker's Hand? Put simply, we're a charity that helps anyone in need by supporting grassroots charities with free supplies. Over the last 5 years, we've provided food, drink, clothing, toys, household necessities and personal products to over 30 charities and organisations in New South Wales. As well as our distribution hub in Sydney, we've just opened our brand new hub in Wyong on the Central Coast. Tony Davis. Book Review: My Mother, the Spy, Cindy Dobbin and Frieda Marie Nichols. Mercier Masson was a journalist in an era when there were few female journalists. She also led a dangerous double life as an ASIO agent, having been recruited in 1949. Following the defection of the Petrovs in 1954, she was exposed at a Royal Commission into Soviet espionage in Australia. This book was written by Frieda Marie Nichols in association with Cindy Dobbin, the daughter of Mercier Masson. 50 years after Mercier's death, Cindy was given a book called Australia's Spies and Their Secrets, which mentions her mother. At first, Cindy found the idea of her mother being a spy ridiculous. The thought of her straight-laced, prim and proper mother being a spy was ludicrous. This book tells of Cindy's journey in discovering information about the life of her mother, who was very distant with her young daughter, was often absent, and had little time for Cindy. Cindy was to learn that her mother had the right skills and strong connections to other journalists, artists, and high society people to be of interest to ASIO at the time. She became one of the longest-serving undercover agents, working for the security services for nearly 13 years. The chapters switch between Cindy's journey, her mother's activities, the world situation, and Australian politics at the time. Pamela Morton. Kathy's Kitchen, Best Ever Scrambled Eggs, courtesy of the late Bill Granger. Serves 2, 4 large eggs, 6 tablespoons of cream, 1 tablespoon of butter, salt to taste, chopped chives or parsley. Method: heat a non-stick pan on medium to low heat. Crack eggs into a bowl with cream and salt. Whisk until thoroughly mixed. Melt butter in frying pan until bubbling and add eggs and cream mixture. Allow to sit for about 30 seconds and then gently fold eggs over each other. This is the trick. When the eggs are almost cooked, remove from the pan because they will continue to cook with the residual heat. Sprinkle with chives or parsley and serve with pepper and hot buttered toast. So good. From our readers. Dear Legacy, I would like to say a big thank you for the lovely flowers that I received on my 100th birthday and also the food parcel. Thank you for all that you do. Have a Merry Christmas and may the new year of 2024 be a happy and prosperous one to you all. Thank you. I, HD. Many thanks to the willing, happy helpers who made the Christmas lunch so enjoyable. Good food and fun. Regards, M. McG. Thank you to the legacies and staff at Central Coast New South Wales Legacy. It was very much appreciated to receive a birthday card and your best wishes. Kindest regards, DJD. To Legacy staff, many thanks for the Christmas hamper delivered to me by Legatee Ann Taylor. Such a lovely surprise and gift which is very much appreciated. Christmas and New Year greetings to all. M.S. Dear Legatee Karen, thank you very much for your birthday card and wishes for the 23rd of February. I celebrated my birthday with family and friends at Lifestyle Woi Woi on the 24th, as it was my disabled son's 60th birthday on the 22nd. A great day. Thanks again. Best wishes to you and all in Legacy. PC. I would like to say a big thank you to all the staff and legatees for all the time and effort put in to make a delicious lunch and a great day for all the Sunflower group, and all the other groups would feel the same, I am sure. Have a very Merry Christmas. Sincerely, TP. Dear Karen, thank you for my very lovely birthday card. So great to hear from you. Many good wishes. Best wishes to all legatees and staff. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year with good health in 2024. GM. Widows Social Clubs. Central Coast New South Wales Legacy operates Widows Social Clubs at a variety of locations across the Central Coast. Our social clubs provide an opportunity for our enrolled beneficiaries to get together for a social catch-up, have a cuppa and a bicky, discuss social events including regular bus trips, bingo days, morning teas, luncheons and other events that may interest our beneficiaries. Transport can be arranged for our beneficiaries to attend the meetings. Each meeting is attended by our legatee liaison officers and also one of our welfare officers. If you are interested in attending one of our widows clubs, please contact the Legacy office on 1800 LEGACY, 1800 534 229, or 4323 4977. Vale. Gwyneth Eyre. Dorothy Barnes. Doris Betts. Iris Bowyer. Gwenda Byrne. Mary Craig. Jean East. Margaret Eastwood. Elizabeth Fardy. Joyce Gardner. Dorothy Gray Parkinson. Betty Hart. Lillian Hawkins. Norma Jones. Valerie Lincoln. June Littlefield. Lorna May. Anne Maynard. Brian Poole. May Roll. Norma Staples. Elizabeth Story. Rose Tracy. Joyce Wheatland. Rona Woolley. Tread softly, for you walk on my dreams. Marketing and nuisance calls. If you feel you're getting too many marketing or nuisance calls, you can contact the Do Not Call Register on 1300 792 958, or go to donotcall.gov.au. Some organisations that have your consent or are exempt may still call you occasionally. Chatterbox on audio CD. Many of our enrolled beneficiaries receive copies of Chatterbox on audio CD. If you are a sight impaired enrolled beneficiary or know someone who is, you can access an audio edition via MP3 or audio CD. If you would like an audio version of Chatterbox, please contact the Legacy office on 4323 4977.
Continuing our legacy of care. There is a form provided in the print edition of Chatterbox. At the top of the form, there are two tick boxes if you would like information sent to you about how to help as a Legacy volunteer or how to make a bequest to Legacy. Underneath that, there is a space provided to write the dollar amount of your gift to the Legacy family and tick boxes to indicate whether a cheque is enclosed or whether you would like Legacy to debit your credit card. There is also a space for your credit card number and to indicate whether your card is Visa, Amex or MasterCard. You are then required to write the name on the card, the card's expiry date, the CVN number, see note, your signature, your address and postcode, and your telephone number. All donations over $2 are tax deductible. Please return this coupon to Brisbane Water, New South Wales, Legacy, Post Office Box 4252, East Gosford, New South Wales, 2250. Note, the CVN number is the number that provides extra security for online payments. It's a 3-digit number on the back of Visa or MasterCard credit cards, or a 4-digit number on the back of an Amex card.
The lighter side of life. About 2 years ago, my wife and I were on a cruise through the Western Mediterranean aboard a Princess liner. At dinner, we noticed an elderly lady sitting alone along the rail of the grand stairway in the main dining room. I noticed that all the staff, ship officers, waiters, busboys, etc., all seemed very familiar with this lady. I asked our waiter who the lady was, expecting to be told she owned the line, but he said he only knew that she had been on board for the last 4 cruises back to back. As we left the dining room one evening, I caught her eye and stopped to say hello. We chatted and I said, "I understand you've been on this ship for the last 4 cruises," she replied. "Yes, that's true." I stated, "I don't understand," and she replied without a pause, "It's cheaper than a nursing home." "So there will be no nursing home in my future. When I get old and feeble, I'm going to get on a Princess cruise ship. The average cost for a nursing home is $200 a day. I have checked on reservations at Princess, and I can get a long-term discount and senior discount price of $135 per day. That leaves $65 a day for 1. Gratuities, which will only be $10 per day. 2. I will have as many as 10 meals a day if I can waddle to the restaurant, or I can have room service, which means that I can have breakfast in bed every day of the week. 3. Princess has as many as 3 swimming pools, a workout room, free washers and dryers, and show every night. 4. They have free toothpaste, razors, soap, and shampoo. 5. They will treat you like a customer, not a patient. An extra $5 worth of tips will have the entire staff scrambling to help you. 6. I will get to meet new people every 7 to 14 days. 7. TV broken, light bulb needs replacing, need to have mattress replaced, no problem. They will apologise for your inconvenience. 8. Clean sheets and towels every day and you don't even have to ask for them. 9. If you break a hip, Princess will put you in a first-class suite for life. Now, hold on for the best. Do you want to see South America, the Panama Canal, Tahiti, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, or name where you want to go? Princess will have a ship ready to go. So don't look for me in a nursing home. Just call shore to ship. And don't forget, when you die, they just dump you over the side at no charge. Sometimes, the more you try to help someone, the worse it gets. Upon arriving home, a husband was met at the door by his sobbing wife. Tearfully, she explained, "It's the druggist. He insulted me terribly this morning on the phone. I had to call multiple times before he would even answer the phone." Immediately, the husband drove downtown to confront the druggist and demand an apology. But before he could say more than a word or two, the druggist told him, "Now, just a minute. Listen to my side of it." This morning, the alarm failed to go off, so I was late getting up. I went without breakfast and hurried out to the car, just to realise that I'd locked the house with both house and car keys inside and had to break a window to get my keys. Then, driving a little too fast, I got a speeding ticket. Later, when I was about 3 blocks from the store, I had a flat tyre. When I finally got to the store, a bunch of people were waiting for me to open up. I got the store opened and started waiting on these people. All the time, the darn phone was ringing off the hook. He continued, "Then I had to break a roll of nickels against the cash register drawer to make change, and they spilled all over the floor. I had to get down on my hands and knees to pick up the nickels, and the phone was still ringing. When I came up, I cracked my head on the open cash drawer, which made me stagger back against a showcase with a bunch of perfume bottles on it. Half of them hit the floor and broke. Meanwhile, the phone is still ringing with no let-up, and I finally got back to answer it. It was your wife. She wanted to know how to use a rectal thermometer. And believe me, mister, as God is my witness, all I did was tell her." In the Garden with Roz Bailey. My love affair with roses. It's been going on for many years and something my husband accepted a long time ago. "Sorry, darling, I love you, but I love roses too." And believe me, he had to make concessions as this love affair took up a lot of my time and I became very passionate about it. It all started when we bought our first house, a little three-bedroom in the suburbs. He was away much of the time with his career in the military, so what's a girl to do? Coming from a big gardening family who also had a passion for roses, it was a natural step for me to take. I can probably blame Big W for facilitating the beginning of my lifelong love affair, when, as a young mum on a budget, I bought my first rose in a bare-rooted packet, proudly took it home, plonked it in a bucket, and wondered where to plant it. Our public library must also take some ownership of my rose-bunctious ways, as I was a regular visitor, borrowing every town and country gardening book, rose care and rose encyclopedia I could find, eventually working through their whole selection of gardening tomes. How can one not get whipped up into a frenzy after reading Susan Irving's Garden of 1,000 Roses? So many old world and French roses. I was overcome by the terms damask, bourbon, moss roses, and the glorious ramblers. Then came the rose catalogues. Dear, oh dear, how could one refrain from ordering 6 or 7 roses from all those glorious photos, descriptions, varieties, and fragrances? Then, to my heart's desire, I was introduced to the English David Austin roses. I clearly had a challenge. I just needed a bigger garden. So we moved to small acres. Now I had 1.5 acres to plant to my heart's content and dear love's desires. And that's just what I did. Whilst digging and preparing whole new garden beds, I visited a now long-gone heritage rose nursery at Agnes Banks. 18 acres of pecan trees and roses. As Gretchen, the elderly lady who owned it, was crippled over with osteoarthritis, I offered to help her prune the thousands of roses she had, not realising what I was getting myself into. The long and short of it is that I pruned my little heart out for 5 years every Friday whilst my kids were at primary school. In return, Gretchen taught me everything she knew about pruning these old-fashioned varieties, and I was allowed to fill as many buckets full of roses as I could carry home. I was also allowed to take any cutting I liked as well. So many of my old-fashioned roses that went up trees and over arbours began from her cuttings. Needless to say, Friday night became Mum's gardening night with a glass of wine, Peter Cundall, Don Burke, and some epic flower arranging. Some years and many roses later, I met the President and Secretary of the Blue Mountains and Nepean Rose Society whilst working in a Bunnings nursery. Of course, it didn't take too much to talk me into joining and learning all about the hybrid tea roses, which they avidly showed at the Easter and regional shows. After admitting that I didn't actually own one single hybrid tea, I was soon digging up more lawn to create 3 new beds dedicated to hybrid teas to show. I planted 3 of each variety in a red, a pink and a white bed and a miscellaneous bed with arbours, pillars and walkways in between. I now had my garden of 1,000 roses, including a whole area dedicated to the stunning David Austins and the French Delbards. The only problem I now had was pruning so many every winter. As we got late frosts, I started pruning later than most areas and literally pruned from sunup to sundown all through August. And boy, were there some prunings. My poor thorn-scarred arms are proof, even though I always wore a denim jacket and gloves. We sold Bloomfield Cottage 7 years ago, and I often wondered what's happened to all my beloved roses. I no longer have the room or the sun required for many roses, but of course, when there's a will, there's a way. So I mostly have climbing roses up any of the house walls that dared to be blank. And of course, a beautiful red one called Amadeus out on the front wall facing the street, which always garners compliments. I expect I'll love roses till the day I die. And even then, I've asked for my ashes to be planted under a rose somewhere.
Advertisements. Legal appointments available to all enrolled beneficiaries every Tuesday at Legacy Village, 51-57 Masons Parade, Point Frederick. Please call the Legacy office on 4323 4977 to make an appointment. Creighton's Funeral Service. Greenway Chapel and Memorial Gardens and Palmdale Lawn Cemetery and Memorial Park. Caring for you and your loved ones since 1843. Lock in the price today with a prepaid memorial site and funeral plan. Ask us how on our 24/7 care line, 1300 130 955. Website, creighton's funeralservice.com.au. Contact details. Editorial Committee. Editor, David Ferry. 0401 715 184. Members, Mark Gattenhoff and David Harris. Legacy Executive, President, Patrick Gallagher, 0420 564 685. Vice President, Bob Lowry, 0407 911 390. Legacy Village, 51-57 Masons Parade, Point Frederick. Phone, 02-4323 4977. Fax, 02-4323-4458. Email legacy@cclegacy.com.au. Publishing and Copyright Statement. This newsletter is copyright Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. Reproduction in whole or in part is prohibited without prior written consent from Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. All rights reserved. Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy does not warrant that the information available in this magazine is accurate, complete, or current. Opinions expressed are those of the respective authors and not necessarily those of Central Coast, New South Wales Legacy. Closing announcement. This concludes the recording of Legacy Chatterbox, issue number 101 for April 2024 from Legacy Central Coast, New South Wales. Care has been taken in the recording of this publication, but Vision Australia does not accept responsibility for the results of specific action taken on the basis of this recording, nor for any error, omission, or incorrect pronunciation. This recording is copyright. No unauthorised copying, broadcasting, or public performance is permitted.